to 10. Vic Prado turned and saw Jesse retreating into the hotel. Fuck. The whole point of this stupid reunion was to get with Jesse. Months of planning, of playing Mike Frazetta, all for nothing. Jesse Stone was going to be his way to get out from under, and now it was all slipping away. But Vic hadn't put up with all the shit he had had to endure in the minors. The long bus rides, horrible food, and inept coaching without learning to cope. The only way to survive long enough in the boonies so that you could thrive on the big stage is to be adaptable. And Vic Prado was nothing else if not adaptable. "Yeah, I see him," he said to Joe Breen as the two pet gorillas emerged from the hotel. "They're coming out the door right now." "What the fuck were you doing talking to that cop without my boys around?" Vic had come to understand that he could sometimes manipulate Mike Frazetta, but that his charms were lost on Breen. Frazetta was susceptible for the same reasons the Marks were. They were in awe of professional athletes. They had all dreamed the dream, had all played Little League ball and imitated their favorite players' rituals, the way Nomar used to adjust his gloves, tug his jersey, tap his toes, the way Ichiro held the bat straight at the pitcher, tugged the right shoulder of his jersey, and seemed to rest his chin on that shoulder. It was that dream that Vic used against the men who ran the asset management firms they had targeted. Even the most intelligent men he'd met got completely stupid around him. It was the same way men reacted to a gorgeous woman in the room. He had seen men of all stripes melt in the presence of Kayla, hadn't he? Hadn't he ached to find a way to have her? And now it was Dee who made men stupid. "What did you want me to do, Joe? The guy was my roommate, for Christ's sakes. I married the woman he was dating when he got injured. It would have seemed very odd for us not to have talked in private, to clear the air. I mean, I haven't talked to the guy in forever." Breen was a cold one. "I don't care for it." "Well, you don't have to worry about it now. Because of you, he's heading back to paradise. Did you have to do that? Kill a girl? You and Mike promised..."
"I promised you nothing, Prado. And it wasn't me that killed the girl. It was you. You picked these guys as targets. You said there would be no problem. If you had been right, the Salter kid would be waking up with the girl right now."
"Fuck you, Joe." But Breen didn't get angry. He just laughed into the phone and said, "Enjoy the rest of the day with your old mates, Vic. I have the sense Mike will want you to contact the father again soon." Back in his flat, Breen pressed the hang-up button on his phone, let himself out of the bathroom, and tiptoed around the kitchen. He hit the brew button on the coffee maker and then headed back into the bedroom. There he crawled in bed next to Moira, a girl from the old country and a student at the School of the Museum of Fine Arts. Moira was still asleep. Joe Breen got a strange feeling in his gut as he watched Moira. Come the morning after, Joe, having satisfied his need for comfort and for comforting, would usually send the girls on their way, sometimes with a few extra 20s stashed in their pockets or their backpacks. He knew student life was a struggle. But this morning, Joe Breen didn't want to send Moira on her way. He wanted her to stay as long as the girl cared to.